This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of The Life of Aisha, Mother of the Believers, with me, your sister, Fatima Barakatullah. In the last episode, we mentioned some of the unique characteristics of our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha, that she was exonerated by Allah in the Quran, that the angel Jibreel sent his salam to her, that she was the most beloved person to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and was the daughter of the most beloved man to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the only wife in whose home the Quran was revealed. And it was because of her that the verses of tayammum, the dry ablution, were revealed as a rukhsa, an ease for the believers. She is the one whose hands applied perfume to the beard of Rasulullah, whose lap was the place where he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned that she was one of the most prolific narrators of hadith and a great scholar of Islam. We also mentioned the special revered status of the wives of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they were from the Ahlul Bayt, the household of the Prophet. And what was their special status? Allah says about them in the Quran, "An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum." In Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 6, Allah says, "The Prophet is more worthy of the believers than themselves, and his wives are in the position of their mothers." Indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Aisha radiallahu anha that the virtue of Aisha over other women is like the virtue of, or the superiority of, thareed, a special food, over all other types of foods. She had a common ancestor with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is Murra. So her family tree met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family tree there and goes all the way back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. We mentioned her names and her titles. We mentioned her father, Abu Bakr, and also the fact that she had 2 sisters and 3 brothers. We mentioned her mother, Rumman. Her father, Abu Bakr, had 4 wives over the span of his life. So Aisha radiallahu anha had 3 brothers and 2 sisters. Her mother was Rumman. And her full sibling from the same mother was Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr. And later we're going to meet his daughter, whose name was Amra, and she was one of the key students of Aisha. She also had elder half-siblings, Asma, you know, Asma, the famous Asma bint Abi Bakr, and of course, Abdullah. Asma was married to Az-Zubair bin Al-Awwam, and some of her children were also key students of Aisha. Her third brother was Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr was the son of Asma bint Umais, who was the widow of Ja'far bin Abi Talib, who Abu Bakr married in Medina. Interestingly, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr was born during the final Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so he was just a child when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. He was brought up in the house of Ali because Abu Bakr passed away when he was a child as well, and later became the governor of Egypt. He will come up later in the life of Aisha radiallahu anha, as he was the father of one of her key students, Qasim bin Muhammad. Kulthum was Aisha radiallahu anha's youngest sister, and she was the daughter of Abu Bakr's wife, Habiba bint Kharija. Kulthum was born after the death of Abu Bakr, and Kulthum later married Talha bin Ubaidillah, the great Sahabi, and their daughter Aisha bint Talha was a key student again of Aisha radiallahu anha. Her father influenced her a lot. She recalls in a hadith that her father used to recite Quran with so much passion that people would stand in awe of him. The Meccans became afraid that due to the recitation of Abu Bakr, the women and children were being attracted to Islam, and so they tried to stop him and persecute him. So Abu Bakr decided to leave for Abyssinia. As he was leaving with his family, packing all of his things, an influential man called Ibn al-Daghina saw him and asked him, where was he going? When he heard, he was very upset. He said, woe to Quraysh that a man like you should be forced to leave them. And he told Abu Bakr to go back home and that he would give him his protection. You know, they had a system in those days that a person, an influential person, could give protection to someone else and then nobody could harm that person. So Abu Bakr and his family went back home. And so Abu Bakr decided to build a prayer place next to his house, and even more people became attracted to Islam due to this prayer place that he built. The Quraysh saw this and they complained to Ibn al-Daghina. So Ibn al-Daghina went to Abu Bakr and said, please don't put me in a difficult position. Abu Bakr said to him, I don't need your protection. Allah is enough for me. Subhanallah. This was the resolve and strength that Aisha witnessed from her own father from a young age, and it no doubt influenced her personality. 2 years after the death of Khadija radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living alone with his daughters. A lady called Khawla bint Hakim came to the Prophet and asked him if he would like to get married. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, all right, but with whom? She suggested a widow and an unmarried woman. The widow she suggested was Sauda bint Zam'a. The unmarried girl she suggested was Aisha bint Abi Bakr. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Sauda, and Khawla bint Hakim went to the house of Abu Bakr with a proposal for Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha was actually already in talks to marry the son of Mut'im bin Adi. So when Abu Bakr heard, he went to Mut'im to make sure that there would be no hard feelings. And Mut'im, who was not a Muslim, relieved him of any obligation. So the path was clear and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Aisha. But she continued to live with her parents because she was not mature enough to live with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After his marriage to Aisha, the persecution in Makkah became unbearable. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to talk about hijrah, migration to Medina. One day when Aisha and Asma were sitting with Abu Bakr, there was a knock on the door. Abu Bakr ran out to find that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing there. Abu Bakr reassured him and said, don't worry, there is no one in the house except your family, so please proceed. And Aisha relates what happened. She describes in a narration that at that time Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still in Mecca, and he said to his companions, your place of emigration has been shown to me. And then she goes on to say that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared it, some of the companions migrated to Medina and some of them who had gone to Habasha, Abyssinia, returned in order to go to Medina. Abu Bakr began to prepare camels and, you know, just get ready for the journey. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, wait, I'm just waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me permission. Abu Bakr postponed his departure in order to accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he still kept preparing for the journey. After the break, we will continue the story of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the life of Aisha, mother of the believers. Before the break, we said that Abu Bakr Siddiq, Aisha's father, was preparing for the hijrah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said to him, "Wait, for I expect to be permitted to emigrate soon." And Abu Bakr had said, "May my mother and father be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah. Do you really expect that?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had replied in the affirmative. So Abu Bakr had been preparing camels, feeding them, getting them ready for the long journey. Aisha radhiyallahu anha describes the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with his head covered at a time when he never usually used to. Abu Bakr realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam must have come for something urgent because he'd come at a time when he never usually came. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and asked permission to enter, and he was allowed to enter. When he came in, he said to Abu Bakr, "Tell everyone who is present with you to leave." Abu Bakr replied, "There's no one here but your family. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "I have been given permission to migrate." Abu Bakr said, "Will I accompany you? May my father be sacrificed for you, O Rasulullah." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Yes." Aisha also said, "Before I saw Abu Bakr cry that day, I never thought that anyone could cry out of happiness." She continues, Abu Bakr said, "O Allah's Messenger, take one of these two she-camels of mine." Allah's Messenger replied, "I will accept it with payment." So she says that we prepared the baggage quickly and put some food for the journey in a leather bag for them. Asma, Abu Bakr's daughter, cut a piece from her waist belt. So she took her waist belt off and tore it in two. And she tied the mouth of the leather bag with it. And it is for that reason that Asma bint Abi Bakr is known as Dhatun Nitaqain, the owner of the two belts, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave her glad tidings that in Jannah she would be given two amazing belts in lieu of the belt that she tore and sacrificed for the sake of Allah. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr reached a cave on the mountain of Thawr and stayed there for 3 nights. And Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, who was Aisha's brother, he helped them out. He would go there every night and stay there with them, take food for them. And in the daytime, just before Fajr, he would return home to Mecca. He would keep them informed of any plots that were taking place in order for them to reach Medina safely. Abu Bakr had hired a guide. And so with that guide, eventually they traveled all the way to Medina. So what we're witnessing here is that Aisha radhiyallahu anha is seeing her own brother, her own sister, her entire family work for the sake of Allah and sacrifice for the sake of Allah in order to give safe passage to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. She describes it in her own words. She said that Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, her brother, was an intelligent and sagacious youth. And he used to stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr at the cave overnight. He used to leave them before daybreak so that in the morning he would be with Quraysh and act as though he had spent the whole night in Mecca. And he would keep them informed of any plots that were being made against them. When it became dark, she said, he would go and inform them of it. And then she describes the slave of Abu Bakr, Amir bin Fuhaira, the freed slave of Abu Bakr, who used to bring a sheep and some milk every day to Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ in the cave. So there was always fresh milk for them at night. Amir bin Fuhaira would then call the herd away when it was still dark before daybreak. And he did the same each night for 3 nights. Allah's Messenger and Abu Bakr had hired a man as a guide, she says. The Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr trusted him and gave him their two camels and took an oath from him to bring their camels to them, to the cave of Thawr in the morning. She describes how Amr bin Fuhayra, who was the freed slave of Abu Bakr, used to bring a sheep every single night to the cave in order to provide milk for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. And then one day he guided them all the way to Medina. And then Abu Bakr had hired a guide who took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr to Medina through a very unique route so that the Quraysh would not be able to detect them. You can see from this that Aisha radiallahu anha, she was really paying attention to the details of what was going on. And that's one of the features of the life of Aisha radiallahu anha. You'll notice that due to her curiosity, due to the fact that she was so attentive, we, the believers, get to hear all of the details about what happened in various incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that way, Aisha radiallahu anha was a true blessing for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without her, there were so many details in the stories and in the life of the Prophet that we would not know about. She describes how her grandfather, Abu Quhafa, who was blind at the time and was a disbeliever, he mocked them and he commented that Abu Bakr had left them bereft of anything. He was obviously worried that there was nothing left for them. But Asma radiallahu anha, who was a teenager at the time, took some stones and wrapped them in a cloth and she gave them to her grandfather to feel. She said, "This is what he has left us with." Her grandfather felt the cloth with the stones and he said, "Then he has left you with a lot." But in fact, he hadn't left them with any immediate access to money. At some point, Abu Jahl even came to the door of Aisha radiallahu anha and asked to meet Abu Bakr. When Asma told him that she didn't know where he was, Abu Jahl slapped her in her face, causing her earring to fall off. Just imagine Aisha radiallahu anha, the little girl, witnessing all of this and seeing her family suffering and striving in the path of Allah from such a young age. You can see that this would have impacted her immensely. And it begs the question, what are we doing that our children are learning from us? What attitudes are they learning? Are they learning to sacrifice and strive for their principles or to acquiesce and compromise? What we do, dear brothers and sisters, is being witnessed by our children and it shapes the attitude of generations to come. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the foresight and courage to be true role models to our children. Ameen. So, Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already traveled to Medina. Now it was Aisha's turn. After a few weeks, the Prophet ﷺ sent Zayd bin Haritha and Abu Rafi', who was his freed slave, to bring the family of Rasulullah ﷺ to Medina. They brought two camels with them and 500 dirhams. Abu Bakr also sent 2 to 3 camels and Abdullah bin Urayqit al-Laythi, his Bedouin guide, and a letter to his son Abdullah, commanding him to bring the family to Medina. They bought some more camels and they brought some more supplies and they began their journey. Abdullah bin Urayqit, the guide, collected Abu Bakr's family, Umm Ruman, Asma, Aisha, and Abdullah. Zayd and Abu Rafi' collected the Prophet's household, Fatima, Umm Kulthum, Sauda bin Zam'a, and Usama bin Zayd and his mother, Baraka, Ayman, who was the foster mother of Rasulullah. So they all went on the hijrah together. On their way to Medina, they even bumped into Talha bin Ubaidillah, who is one of the great Sahaba, and he accompanied them on the journey. Talha, of course, is one of the 10 promised paradise. He was also from Banu Taym, the same clan as Aisha, radiallahu anha, and actually, he later married Aisha's sister Umm Kulthum, and we will meet him later in the incident of the camel. On the way, Aisha's camel got nervous and started to run wildly. Her mother began calling out, Wa binta, wa arusa, which means, O daughter, O bride. And she used to call her bride because she was obviously the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She called out to Aisha, telling her to let go of the camel's reins. But eventually the reins got caught in something on the ground, and so the camel was brought to a halt. Everyone came and gathered round Aisha radiallahu anha and took control of the camel. Also on the way, Aisha radiallahu anha's sister Asma was expecting. She had married Az-Zubair bin al-Awwam just recently, and they stopped at Quba, where the famous masjid is now, where Asma radiallahu anha gave birth to the great Sahabi Abdullah bin Az-Zubair. And this was a great moment for the Muslims, because there had been a rumor spreading that the Muslims were cursed and that they could have no more children. And no children had actually been born to the Muslims for some time. So when Abdullah bin Az-Zubair was born, they held the baby up and chanted praises of Allah. He was taken eventually to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who did tahniq. He did tahniq, which is where you take a piece of date and soften it in your mouth and then rub it on the palate of the baby. So the first thing that entered the mouth of Abdullah bin Az-Zubair was the blessed saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, Abdullah bin Az-Zubair became one of the students of Aisha eventually. And he is the nephew of Aisha, from whom she takes her kunya, Abdullah. So as you can see, brothers and sisters, it was an eventful journey. It was an adventure. And eventually, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha reached Medina safely with her family and with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to begin a new life in Medina. When they arrived, the masjid was just being built. In the next episode, we're going to learn about the building of the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. When you see the green dome in the Masjid al-Nabawi, you should realize that straight underneath that dome is the place where the house of Aisha radiallahu anha was, and where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar are buried. Next time we're going to learn about that very house and all of the incidents that happened after she began living with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've come to the end of the episode. Inshallah, I will see you next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.